you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. That fits with what I'm going to be doing today on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. I'm going to be re-airing Monday's program so that we can rejoice again in the powerful message about hell. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you had another powerful message about heaven as Pastor Steve Weiss shared both days during Mark and Friends. And as Karen Harrison, our office manager, often says, if it was good enough to air once, it's good enough to hear it again. And so that's what I'm going to do today. And in these 28 years of Mark and Friends programs, I've only repeated a few holiday specials or interviews like Ann Graham Lotz that was very timely. And then the next year, I think I aired it again. But I've never aired the same program intentionally in the same week. But there was so much feedback. A number of people texted me, emailed me, and were touched, blessed, challenged, and convicted by the message. So you're going to hear Monday's broadcast again today. And yesterday, Tuesday's broadcast was also special. Both are archived at greatnewsradio.org and wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So I begin with reading from Isaiah 5:14, as this will be Monday's program in its entirety. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Joining me in the studio is Pastor Steve Weiss, where he serves as the pastor at the Heritage Free Will Baptist Church here in Springfield. He was the recent speaker, keynote speaker at the Businessmen in Christ this past Saturday, and he delivered such a powerful message, a God-honoring message, a message of conviction, a message that oftentimes we don't hear very often because, for whatever reason, pastors don't talk about hell or the reality that it exists, that it's a place that many are going to suffer and go to. And so I asked him to be a part of Mark and Friends, so he joins me in the studio. We don't have the First Lady, Georgia, joining us, but we're praying her up and appreciate the ministry she has, and maybe Pastor Steve will say something about her. We also have another special guest in the studio, Mark Klotfelter. He was here on Saturday working to install some alarm systems and some different things, and we appreciate him and his boss man, Joe. They're a part of the Springfield Alarm Company. But right now, Mark, you're kind of acting, he's a prayer warrior. He prayed up the program, but he's a visual aid. Pastor Steve said, hey, Mark, stay around here because it's nice to kind of preach and teach with somebody that's visible. So he's sitting very quietly, waving to the microphones, waving to us. But we appreciate his faith journey. You may remember I've had him on telling a little of his story and how God's at work in his life. And I've gotten to know him these many weeks. But appreciate he and Joe, they're working to enhance our system here at the WLUJ studios. And so it's a great team. And they're giving us some good advice on how to best optimize this location and make it safe for everyone that comes in here. But this past Saturday at the Businessmen in Christ gathering, Pastor Steve, you talked about and titled your subject, Hell is a Real Place. So I'm going to ask you to deliver that similar message, the importance that everyone takes to heart, that it's a reality, and often it doesn't get talked about. So I want to give you the freedom to preach it up. But before that, what would you want the listener to know about you a little bit?
Well, I'm just a common person. I own a painting business here in town, and I work among people. I think sometimes preachers get so busy in their office, they lose touch with the common people out there. And I've been blessed to work with the community, with people. I pastor a church here in town. I couldn't do what I do without my wife, Georgia. She sings Southern gospel and is a great prayer warrior. And we hold each other up in prayer. Jacksonville was my home in Springfield, and I just feel at home here, and I hope that I can be an encouragement and a blessing, and I hope I can put a fire in somebody today.
And I will say, because we talked about this, I think your message is going to be not only appropriate for us to hear and timely, but I want to save some of your story for tomorrow. I think I'm going to have you back for the Testimony Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends to see if you're available again to be a part of that program, because there's much to your faith journey that I think will be an encouragement to many, how God can use somebody coming from a broken situation, and how God just revived you in a variety of ways, and how he's called you to be the current pastor at Heritage Free Will Baptist Church here in Springfield. And I also used you to do a little, what do you think about this artwork going up here? And if we painted this color, because of some of his expertise, I've already tapped into that. But we'll save that for tomorrow, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. But you titled your topic on Saturday to the Businessmen in Christ guys, Hell is a Real Place. Talk about that.
Well, I think what's happened today in our sophisticated, technologically advanced age, that sometimes we try so hard to not offend anybody, and we kind of have what I call a suave modern Christianity that's sort of watered down the gospel. Ask yourself, why did Jesus go to the cross? God that we worship in the Bible is a God of holiness. He's so holy that the angels of God constantly go around his throne and cry, holy, holy, holy. His holiness demands a punishment for sin. And the cross was there, and the horrible day that took place was to pay for that sin. And so if there is not a place called hell, then the cross was a farce. God's not holy. Jesus was the biggest liar that ever lived, and the Bible's not true. But the fact is that sometimes we're too busy counting nickels and noses and trying to draw a crowd, and we're too concerned about treating the church more like a business and more like a marketing thing than we are being men of God and prophets of God and proclaiming, thus saith the Lord. And when God called me to preach, I was 17 years old in an all-night prayer meeting at Grace United Methodist Church. That's not my call. This is not my book. This is not my message. I have to deliver what the Lord's given me. And I found out when you speak the truth, that's the only thing that's going to set people free. So last Saturday, I brought forth a message to some men that God has laid on my heart. Hell is a real place. And I find that sometimes, because it's not a positive thought, that oftentimes we dismiss it out of our mind. We don't talk about it. We don't think about it. And very rarely will you ever hear a sermon by today's preacher on this subject. But hell is a real place. There was a famous atheist named Thomas Paine. As Thomas Paine was dying, he said, "Stay with me. For God's sake, I cannot bear to be left alone. The devils are come, hell and damnation." Another famous atheist said, "Devils are in the room ready to drag my soul to hell. It's no use looking to Jesus now. It's too late." I can hear somebody, by the way, saying, "No, wait a minute. If God's so loving, why would he send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. You send yourself to hell when you trample over the blood of Jesus Christ and reject his only son and refuse the free gift of salvation one time too many." You say, "Well, I just can't believe that hell, as terrible as the Bible describes it, God would let anybody go there." Well, again, hell was not designed for man. Hell was created, the Bible says, for the devil and his angels. I illustrate it like this. I heard a preacher many years ago in Texas. In his home, they had a rat, and they were trying to catch that rat. So they had this big, huge rat trap. They put some food on it, but also they had a cat in the house. The cat saw the food, got caught in the rat trap. That trap was not designed for their family cat. It was designed for the rat. And hell was not designed for you and I. But when we refuse the love of God and reject Jesus Christ and trample over his blood and say no one time too many, then there's no alternative to satisfy the holiness of God and the justice of God but to be eternally separated for all eternity. John the Baptist, as he stood in the River Jordan, cried out, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" The Bible says in Matthew 25:30, it describes it as outer darkness. Mark 9:43 said, "If your hand offend thee, it'd be better you cut it off and enter into heaven halt than have two hands to go into hellfire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." Jesus said that. Well, the Bible continues. It says here in Matthew 10:28, "Don't fear them that can destroy only the body, but fear them that can destroy both body and soul in hell." Some people say hell is the grave. There's certain cults out there that say that. But hell is not the grave. One of the words is Gehenna. The Greek word Gehenna was actually a burning place outside of Jerusalem where they took trash and debris and the fire was going continually, so they could relate to that. God said everlasting fire. I'm going to believe what God says, not the scholars, not the experts, and not the cults. I'm going to believe the word of God when he says everlasting fire. Hell is a real place. It has a real location. Isaiah 14:15 says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Ezekiel 31:16 talks about being cast down to hell within the descent into the pit. Isaiah 14:9 says, hell from beneath is moved for thee. So hell has a real location. It's called the bottomless pit, the great furnace. It's Revelation 20 verse 1 talks about the key of the bottomless pit. Revelation 20 verse 7 says, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Revelation 9, 1 and 2 says, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Hell has gates and keys. Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Revelation 20, verse 1 talks about the key of the bottomless pit. So it has a real location. It has gates and keys. And hell is getting larger. Isaiah 5:14 says, therefore hell has enlarged itself. Not only that, but the citizens of hell never leave. Matthew 25:41 talks about everlasting fire. Revelation 14:11 says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Friend, I'm reminding you of hell today, because every one of us have loved ones. We have a brother. We have a cousin. You've got a roommate. You've got a friend that you work with. You've got a next-door neighbor. You've got someone you go bowling with or you fish with. You've got someone that you talk to on the phone. And friend, without Jesus Christ, they're one heartbeat from hell. We need to get back, Christians, and wake up. So many Christians are sitting on the fence. These milquetoast, watered-down, lukewarm, ear-tickling type of Christians that are so lackadaisical, you're so caught up with your job and money and your 401k and all the things that you're doing in the world that you've lost sight. The Bible says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Mm-hmm. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You say you love Jesus, but Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. If you're not fishing, you're not following. That's why he's not come back. That's why the trumpet's not sounded. That's why he's allowing you to go through all the hurt and the heartbreak of this world, because he's put people in your path that he's going to hold you responsible for, because hell is a real place, friend, and we can block it out of our mind. We can drive our nice car and sit in our comfortable home and open up our refrigerator that's full of food. But while we're going on with our merry way, while we're going to go to church Sunday and we'll sing songs and sit in a comfortable pew and hear a nice sermon and go home, people are bobbing up and down and screaming and crying and in agony and pain, begging for somebody to come to their neighbor, somebody go warn my brother. The Bible says in Luke 16, it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And it said, in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and said, Father Abraham, dip the tip of your finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. He said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. He told him to remember. There's a memory in hell. He had eyes in hell. He had a body in hell. You say, well, how could that be? How could somebody be in hell and not be burnt up? Well, how in the Old Testament did Moses stand in front of a burning bush, and the bush wasn't concerned? How did that happen? How did the three Hebrew boys get thrown in a furnace of fire, but they weren't burnt up? My friend, I'm going to tell you something. Hell is a horrible place of darkness and pain and torment where people are shrieking and screaming and crying and yelling in agony. And one day the hell will be opened up. And all of a sudden people are going to say, oh, maybe we can get out. Maybe this is all over with. But it won't be over with. He's just going to open the door and let them out. Because the Bible says in Revelation 20:12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. One day the books are going to be opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. They're going to stand before that judgment. You say, preacher, why would they be judged? They're already in hell. They're going to be judged for their works to see how hot their hell's going to be. And they're going to make an account for what they did. The Bible says in Revelation, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can you see your loved ones at the great white throne judgment? And maybe they see you as a witness and they point their finger and say, "You never told me." I can see some father in hell and he's bobbing up and down and screaming. And he thinks, son, are you here somewhere? And he's bumping into people and people are screaming and biting and yelling and carrying on. And finally he sees his son. He says, "Son, I'm so sorry." And the son, "Get away from me. I hate you. You never told me." Folks, there's not going to be any love in hell because God's love. There's not going to be light in hell because God is the light. There's not going to be mercy in hell because God is mercy. Folks, it's going to be a horrible place because people are facing the eternal, everlasting judgment of God. And if you're listening to me this morning, you have 1 ounce of compassion in your heart as a Christian, get those gospel tracts out. Give your testimony. Call somebody on the phone. Get a burden for God. You say, "Preacher, but I'm an introvert. I can't talk. I'm shy." The Bible says you should receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you will be a witness. I'm talking to some Christians right now. You're dead as last year's Christmas tree, and you don't have enough power to blow the fuzz off a peanut. I'm talking to some Christians that need revival. You need to get stirred up. You need to get woke up. You need to be like Jeremiah, who wanted to quit the ministry, and he was tired of being made fun of and persecuted. And he said, "I quit. I won't even mention his name anymore." But then the Bible says the word of God was in my heart like a fire burning in my bones. We need some Christians and some preachers and some deacons and some teachers that'll get on fire for God and get a burden for their loved ones and get a burden for their community. We got teenagers that are committing suicide, that are drug overdosing, and marriages that are falling and shattering in shambles, and we got churches that are dead and cold and nobody cares to go because nothing's happening there because the power of God's left. We need folks today to come back to God. I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking about people that go to church every week that are lukewarm. You're backslidden. You're cold. You can't remember the last time you've witnessed to anybody. Folks, you'll be so busy doing good, you neglect the most important thing. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed." Are you ashamed of Jesus? Because he said, if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you someday. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation." He said, "I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Folks, I'm going to tell you something. All the prophecies have been fulfilled. Jesus Christ is coming back any minute. You say, "I've heard that all my life." Well, I'm going to tell you, we're closer now than it's ever been. The door of the ark's getting ready to shut, and your loved ones are going to be locked out. And then the Bible says God will send them a strong delusion. The Antichrist will set up. There will be a one world religion, a one world government. And I'm going to tell you something. Things are going to happen like you've never seen before. If you think things are bad now, you just hold on. You better get your loved ones ready, folks. You better get ready because hell is real and the citizens never leave. They never get out. Who's going to be there? Well, the religious crowd's going to be there. Those that say, "Lord, Lord, didn't I do good works in your name?" And he's going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you." Those that are trusting their baptism and their communion and their good works, and maybe they prayed some sinner's prayer, but they never really repented. Well, my friend, if the Holy Spirit's never convicted you and showed you you're a lost sinner, you never got saved. Well, there's going to be a lot of people in hell that are church members, people that believe in God. And there's people going to be in hell that meant to get saved. They intended to get saved. They wanted to get saved. But they just said, "Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow." My friend, tomorrow may never come. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for you don't know what a day may bring forth. It's appointed a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Folks, if you're not saved right now, or you got any doubts about it, get on the phone and call this radio station. Get a hold of somebody, and let's get that settled right now, because you're not promised of another day. The citizens of hell will never leave. It's a prison house, folks, where there's no parole. And the inhabitants of hell are many. We think of hell, we think of murderers and rapists and killers. But I want you to think of hell as your best friend that's not saved, your next door neighbor, your co-worker, your cousin, maybe a son or a daughter, or maybe you got a spouse that you live with and they're a good person and you love them, but they've never made that decision to get saved. Folks, you need to get a burden. You need to fall on your knees. You need to pray and cry out to God daily. Say, "Oh God, draw them, convict them, speak to them, and don't give up on them. Stand in the gap for their soul," because it's a place of separation and it's a place of suffering. "Will the circle be unbroken," the song says. Oh, my friend, when I get to heaven, I don't want to get there without my children. I don't want to get there without my loved ones. It's a place where people in hell are begging, "Would you go to my brothers? Would you go warn them and let them know of this terrible, horrible place?" Folks, I wonder today, would you make a commitment
to rededicate your life to God and be a soul winner and seek the filling and the power of the Holy Spirit and ask God to use you to do something in these last dark, demonic days that we live in. America's in trouble because God's people have been silent too long. It's time we come out of the closet. It's time we get off the pew. It's time you get off your blessed assurance and decide you're going to make your life count and do something for Jesus Christ, because one day the trumpet will sound and you'll stand before the judgment seat and you'll make an account for what you've done. Hell is a real place.
Pastor Steve, I want to take this moment because I'm hoping that God is touching many minds and hearts. And you had the guys commit. You asked them to hold their hands up. You brought them through. Will you contact someone this week? Will you pray that God puts somebody on your heart specifically for you to go and initiate? And I love that you gave that example that some are, I'm not an influencer. I'm timid. I'm introverted. I can't do it. No, all of us can. All of us are equipped. So present that challenge in our closing few minutes for our listeners, recognizing some haven't come to the point of knowing Jesus as Lord and Savior. So help them understand that God does care, but there is an ultimate reality. There is a heaven and there's a hell, and He chooses that none would enter into hell. He wants all to be saved.
Yes. Well, I was raised in church, very, very religious, got baptized, got confirmed, joined the church, believed in God with all my heart. And as a teenager coming from a broken home, my mother wasn't able to raise me. My father had to drop me off with my grandparents. And through a process of time, my heart was broken, a lot of rejection. As a teenager, I contemplated suicide. I wasn't sure anybody really loved me. But somebody knocked on my door at 1402 Hardin Avenue in Jacksonville, invited me to Vacation Bible School. And someone put a gospel track in my hand. And by the way, if you're a Christian, you're listening to me, get some good gospel tracks. And the best kind you can get are chick tracks because they're thorough. And get the gospel. If you can't do anything else, read that track to them. But folks, I came to the point where I realized that I was a sinner. And I could not save myself. My church couldn't save me. My baptism couldn't save me. I came to the realization that the only hope I had was Jesus Christ. And I said, Lord, if you died on the cross and shed your blood for my sins, would you come in my heart and save me? And I asked Him to save me. July 31st, 1976. I was just a teenager. I'll be 62 in just a few days. I've never gotten over that day. He forgave me, cleansed me, gave me joy unspeakable, full of glory, and gave me peace that passes all understanding. He set my feet upon a rock, and He's changed my life, friend. And He can do that for you today. The answer is not dope. The answer is hope. The answer is not grass. The answer is grace. The answer is not more money or a promotion or a different relationship or a deeper level of some kind of immorality out there. Nothing's going to fill the void in your heart other than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been or what's happened in your life. There's no sin too great that He can't remove, forgive, and cleanse right now. If you call upon the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, come in my heart and save me, a sinner. I cannot save myself. If I pay for my own sin, I'd have to go to hell. But you suffered my hell. You died my death, and you took my place on the cross. I accept what you did. The work on the cross is the payment for my sin. Come in my heart right now and save me. Come in my heart and save me right now. Wherever you're at, He saved me in my bedroom, 1453 Southeast Street. He can meet you where you're at right now. He loves you. He loves you. And He's reaching out to you. And if the Holy Spirit's convicting and speaking to you, call upon Him right now. And He will save you, and you'll never be the same.
If you missed a portion of today's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org, also at wluj.org, or feel free to contact Pastor Steve at the Heritage Free Will Baptist Church here in Springfield. He'd certainly love to talk with you. And if you feel like you need to talk to somebody right now, dial 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM. It's a free call. There are trained counselors that can talk to you about having a relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. They can answer your questions about why you can trust the Bible, why God loves you and cares for you. You can call 1-888-NEED-HIM. And I pray that if God's stirring in your heart today, that you'll make that decision to follow Jesus. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He cares for you. He died for you. He loves you. He has a plan and purpose for you this very day. May you secure your eternity with Him. He loves you. Well, no, you're not experiencing Groundhog Day if you're thinking, I thought I heard this program on Monday. Yes, I'm repeating it because it has such a powerful message, and it's a great reminder for all of us to be intentional in our relationship with Jesus, proclaiming Him, sharing Him, praying for those that have never entered into a relationship with God through Jesus. This and yesterday's interview with Steve Weiss is archived at greatnewsradio.org and also at wluj.org under the Mark and Friends tab. So please pass it on to a friend, listen to it again, and allow God to use it in your heart so that you can be that effective ambassador, that disciple of Jesus, proclaiming that good news message. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.